Good morning, everyone. It's time to open up our voices and join together in song. So our opening hymn is 401, Worship the Lord, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. 1, 2, 3, and 5. And this is the song that was out of the Green Songs for the Gospel book, Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son, raising our hands in devotion to God who is one. Raising our hands as a sign of rejoicing, and with our lips our togetherness voicing, giving ourselves to a life of creativeness, worship and work must be one. Worship the Lord, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son, raising our hands in devotion to God who is one. Praying and training that will be a blessing, and by our handiwork daily confessing, we are committed to serving humanity. Worship and work must be one. Worship the Lord, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son, raising our hands in devotion to God who is one. Called to be partners with God in creation, honoring Christ as the Lord of the nation, we must be ready for risk and for sacrifice. Worship and work must be one. Worship the Lord, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son, raising our hands in devotion to God who is one. Bread and the wine to the table, asking that we may be led and enabled, truly united to build new communities. Worship and work must be one. Worship the Lord, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son, raising our hands in devotion to God who is one. Thank you. I want to welcome everyone on this long weekend. Enjoy your last lemonade on the lawn after the service today. It's always nice to gather and chat outside. Next week is the Welcome Back Barbecue. Please remember, we are doing it with the Scouts, and this is a great time to get to know some of our neighbors. Please say hello to them out on the lawn and invite them to your table for lunch, or just like at the church picnic when you're just milling around, eating with your food on your plate. Again, mill on over to a group of Scouts and say hello to them. Speaking of tables, volunteers will be needed, and I understand Lyle got lots of help, so thank you to set up the chairs on the front lawn prior to the service. What time, Lyle?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay, so if you can come at 9 o'clock, that would be great. Also, with the new church year are always changes. The Halton Wardorf School is renting the Brecken Room for about 7 months. We are helping them out while their building is undergoing renovations, I believe. Please notice the shift of the quilters and euchre to the nursery room. While this may be disruptive, please remember we're helping someone else out, a neighbor in Burlington, and they are helping the church out through their additional rental income. Now, if you get hungry this week for some more great bacon and eggs and pancakes, remember the Breakfast Cafe starts up again on the 7th. Invite a friend, enjoy the food and the fellowship. It's always good. Now, the other things that are starting up again is the wonderful music ministry programs that add so much to our service of worship. Please think of those if you might be interested in joining them. The senior choir starts Thursday night, September 5th at 7:30, with the drums, bells in motion, and spice starting the next week. So drums on Tuesday, September 10th at 1 o'clock. Bells in motion on Wednesday, September 11th at 7:30. And spice on Thursday, the 12th at 6:30. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? I just want to let you know that Donna Ben's health is continuing to decline. She's not doing very well, so if we could keep her in our thoughts and prayers, that would be wonderful. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. This morning, when we're acknowledging God's presence, I ask you to use your imagination today. Maybe you can close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to picture the ocean. If you've ever seen the ocean or seen it on TV, the large waves, the huge expanse of water. Some churches focus on what is known as the season of creation during September to remind us to take care of God's good creation, and this morning's opening acknowledges that with a focus on oceans. Let us now join repeatedly. The ocean is all around us. The ocean can seem overwhelming and calming and gentle too. The ocean can be a powerful reminder of the presence of God. Come, let us worship God, let us pray. Divine Creator, we come with questions and ask you to open us to receive your answers. Sometimes we feel hard done by and we think the world is out to get us. We want, we demand answers. The next hymn is number 703 in Voices United. In the bulb there is a flower, number 703. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us now take a time for reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. There are times, gracious God, when we are tired of trying new things. We want the familiar. We want things back the way they were. We do not want to have to imagine or dream. Yet in the midst of all this, you come and challenge us to see in new ways. You call us to try new methods and new ideas. You dare us to wonder what the world could be. Take a moment to think about how God might be sending you as a worker in the field of God's creation. What might God want you to do, to say, and to whom? Amen. The assurance of God's never-ending love. Jesus challenged the disciples, and they dared to try something new. When they were confronted with their own inadequacies, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." Sense of failure might have. But invites us to new possibilities. Always. Amen. I added a new scripture today, and it's one of the stories from the early church from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. It's entitled The Seven Helpers. And remember that the church was continuing to grow in the book of Acts. Sometime later, as the number of disciples kept growing, there was a quarrel between the Greek-speaking Jews and the native Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of funds. So the 12 apostles called the whole group of believers together and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the preaching of God's word in order to handle finances. So then, friends, choose seven men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will put them in charge of this matter. We ourselves, then, will give our full time to prayer and the work of preaching." The whole group was pleased with the apostles' proposal, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a Gentile from Antioch who had earlier been converted to Judaism. The group presented them to the apostles, who prayed and placed their hands on them. And so the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem grew larger and larger, and a great number of priests accepted the faith. We'll now have the stories of Jesus.
The stories of Jesus are taken from Luke 10, verses 1 to 12, 16 to 20. Jesus sends out the 72. This is found in the Good News Bible, the New Testament, pages 95 to 96. After this, the Lord chose another 72 men and sent them out two by two to go ahead of him to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "There is a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a beggar's bag or shoes. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you go into a house, first say, 'Peace be with this house.' If someone who is peace-loving lives there, let your greeting of peace remain on that person. If not, take back your greeting of peace. Stay in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they offer you, for workers should be given their pay. Don't move around from one house to another. Whenever you go into a town and are made welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in that town and say to the people there, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you go into a town and are not welcomed, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust from your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. But remember that the kingdom of God has come near you.' I assure you that on the judgment day, God will show more mercy to Sodom than to that town." Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Now the return of the 72. The 72 men came back in great joy. "Lord," they said, "even the demons obeyed us when we give them a command in your name." Jesus answered them and said, "I saw Satan fall from lightning from heaven. Listen, I've given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. But don't be glad because the evil spirits obey you, rather than be glad because your names are written in heaven." This ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you find it hard to believe it's the 1st of September? Anyone? No kidding, eh? Thank you. Isn't it absolutely amazing? Summer is almost over, and every year it whizzes by. It seems quicker and quicker, and you wonder where it went. M. Alan Warren, in today's presentation, is sending out the 72. And I want to thank you for coming out on this long weekend. Often people have plans and are busy. Today, you will look at the big picture and see how some of the elements of Luke chapter 10 and 11 fit together in the Gospel of Luke. And we'll also go over some welcoming tips so all of us can be like the 72 next week with the joint welcome back barbecue with the Scouts. Now this morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor, introduce yourself, try and find someone maybe you usually don't talk to, and tell them about something you enjoyed this summer, okay? Something you enjoyed this summer, or at least think about it. Go.
Thank you.
stop? You obviously had lots of fun this summer because there was lots of chatting going on, and feel free to continue with Lemonade on the Lawn. Now, does anyone want to call out in a word or two what they enjoyed this summer? The French Open, thank you. Anything else? Family, thank you. Anybody else? New great grandson. Awesome, thank you. Anybody else? The French Open with grandchildren, thank you. Over here? What? Family reunion. Awesome. Wonderful. I didn't tell you a story because I've already told you that I love going through the mountains this summer. And believe it or not, another thing I actually enjoy is the Vacation Bible Camp. It's always lots of fun. Now, how many of you have ever looked through binoculars trying to find something, say a bird in a tree? And then you've had to lower your binoculars, get some reference points, you know, to lead you to the bird in the tree. Then you put them back on and, oh yeah, there's that there. And then you find the bird. Has that ever happened to any of you? Wonderful. Thank you. I don't feel so bad. You need to do the same with Scripture. When you read the Bible today, it's all divided up into little sections. Jesus sends out the 72, the seven helpers. Then there's chapters and verses to make it easy to find familiar passages. But you need to remember that the original books, notice plural, the Bible isn't one book, but many different books, many different authors, many different points of view, understandings of God and who Jesus was. Okay, there isn't just one point of view in the Bible. There were no headings, there were no chapters, there were no verses, there weren't even punctuation marks in the original writings. It was just one long run-on sentence. And I thought I was the master of them. A long, continuous story with one piece fitting into the other. And so today we're going to connect some of those pieces of the story in Luke, remembering Luke is also the author of Acts. It's kind of like a trilogy today. It's just that Luke stopped after two. Question for you this morning. Who do you think are the heavy hitters in the gospel stories? Who are the heavy hitters? What? Paul. Thank you. Paul. Yes, Paul. Thank you. Any other heavy hitters? Peter. Thank you. Any other heavy hitters? John. Thank you. Maybe Luke? I'm surprised nobody mentioned Jesus, you know, one of the heavy hitters in the gospel stories. What? That's a given. Thank you. Absolutely. Also, Mary and Martha, the 12 disciples and those who hung out with Jesus, kind of the groupies, are the heavy hitters. And if you go back to the beginning of chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, that's who Jesus sends out. He sends out the 12 disciples, the heavy hitters, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Well, the case should be closed, right? It's all done. It's over. Sorry, wrong answer. Here we are, no more than a chapter later, the beginning of chapter 10, and Jesus sends out the 72. Some manuscripts say 70. Did you notice what they were called? The Good News Bible says men. You know, of course, that male bias we see in the scripture constantly. But the New Revised Standard Version, okay, because Greek had a male pronoun, a feminine pronoun, and a neutral pronoun. So whenever neutral pronouns get translated in the Bible, because English doesn't have one, okay, they're often translated as male. The New Revised Standard says others, men and women who were sent out. Notice they don't have any special titles. They're not called apostles. They're not called disciples. They're just ordinary folks. So I hate to tell you, this passage has some bad news for you this morning. In the church circles, who are usually the heavy hitters today? How about the ministers, you know, the paid accountable staff? You know, we've gone to Bible college, theological college. Those who stand at the front do the message each week, or some churches have people who do the, you know, the Christian education outreach. You know, those are the heavy hitters. Well, in chapter 72 are the simple, everyday folks who are described as others. Now, I take that to mean the everyday folks are those of you who come to church each week and fill in the pews. So you can't slough off this job in Luke's gospel to the superstars. Jesus is calling each of us to this task. There's a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers into the fields to gather the harvest. Now, when good old United Church folks see this passage, we think of evangelism with a capital E, and we shiver and shake. Now, may I suggest something a little different? We are all called to offer peace to people. In this passage, they're sent out to offer peace to the household to which you go. To be a caring presence where people can lay down their burdens, have a breather, know someone cares about them, a safe space to share their story, or simply just talk about other things. To give them the strength to then pick their burdens back up again with the knowledge that someone cares and that someone is you. Wow, what a task. A great task. Letting others know someone cares. What I find interesting about this call of the 72 is what comes after. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Do you want to know who you're supposed to be nice to and caring to on your block, in the office? Everyone. Especially those who have been left by the side of the road, the bruised and broken by life and circumstances. You're sent out to them. So you have all these people being sent out, staying in people's homes, and it says being told to be humble and eat what is put before you. I hope they're date squares. Sorry. I don't know if you have favorites, but you know. But you're not to ask. Eat what is put before you. Now, besides having people, you know, to share the good news and go out, you now have a group of people who have to make the meals and get the table ready to look after them in their homes. Any idea what comes after the Good Samaritan story? How about the Mary and Martha story we read last week that's wrestling with this same problem? Who does the work in the kitchen and who sits at the feet of Jesus? As the church began to grow, this tension is seen in Acts chapter 6. The tension between doing the work of the church, whether it's the counting and distribution of funds, looking after the widows, providing room and board for the traveling preacher, or the one who's given the task to go out and share the stories of Jesus, teaching people the kingdom of God, what it looks like in relation to how we treat one another and how we care for one another by the side of the road, both individually and collectively as a society. Wow. It's no wonder that after the Mary and Martha story is, Lord, teach us to pray. They're sent out. The Good Samaritan story tells who they're to go out to, everyone, especially those at the side of the road. Then the Mary and Martha story reminds us that some are sitting at the feet of Jesus, some are doing the tasks. And you know what comes next? Lord, teach us to pray at the beginning of the 11th chapter. Remember, there's no chapters, there's no verses, there's no headings. These stories just flow from one into the other, reflecting the reality and the needs of the early church community. When Luke or any gospel writer put their gospel together, they were thinking of the needs of the community they were addressing. Teach us how to stay grounded in you and your word as we busy ourselves going out to live the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Are you tired yet with all those tasks? By the way, did I mention to you about needing people to set up tables and chairs, you know, for the luncheon next week out on the lawn? You know?
And putting them away.
Thank you. That was the problem at the One Burlington Festival. Everybody showed up to set up, and then everybody ran home when it was over, and there was few people to put them away. Great reminder. Do you catch the tension reflected in these progression of scriptures that start with the sending out of the 72, all of us, and Lord, teach us to pray? Now back to the 72 and the welcome back barbecue. Do you know what is interesting about our passage today? When the ordinary folks go out proclaiming peace and hospitality, being hospitable to others, they come back filled with joy, and Jesus says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. What do you think the odds are that Jesus said the same thing to the superstars when they came back in Luke chapter 9? How many of you think Jesus said the same thing to them? You know, put your hand up for the yes votes. One, two, thank you. Okay, put your hand up for the no votes. Three, one, two, three, four, thank you. Thanks for playing. There's a lot of you still sitting on the fence there. You know, you're thinking about it. The no's actually have it. Jesus did not say that to the superstars when they came back. Only you have the opportunity and the power to change the relationships and the attitudes on your street, your apartment building, your places of work, this community, and the world. I'm using Cameron Trimble's Almost Daily Devotion from the Center of Progressive Renewal. This was Monday's devotion. Okay, so it was this week. She wrote, the term microaggression was first used in the 1970s to mean a comment or action subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expressed a prejudicial attitude towards the member of a minority group, often a racial minority. Our president, remember Cameron's American, has perfected the art and sadly unleashed a movement of others who feel emboldened to act in demeaning and harmful ways to others. I now find myself wondering if the rest of us are unconsciously, or hopefully consciously, acting as an antidote to that trend. I, remember it's Cameron, spent this past week in New York, a city many would describe as aggressive in pace and practice. But this trip, I was deeply touched and overwhelmed by the countless acts of kindness I witnessed. The woman on the train who gave $5 to the teenager who said he was hungry. The man who helped an elderly woman push her cart across an intersection. I imagine it maybe even being a homeless people, they often have carts. The police officer who held the hand of a little boy in the park separated from his mother. The Uber driver who was delayed in picking me up because his last ride was a blind man who needed help up the stairs in his apartment. Every time I turned around, I witnessed people being kind to each other. Could it be that some of us, more than we think, are becoming micro-loving? Is that what happens to decent human beings who reject what we see from our president and hear on the news? If so, I have hope for our nation and our world. It was in the face of the worst persecution that Jesus showed the most compassion. Maybe that is happening to us too. A great story that underlines the idea of the 72 others taking up the task of making a difference by spreading the word of peace that Jesus instructed them to do. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Now, in relation to this task, I have homework for you this week. First, I want you to pray. Remember, Lord, teach us to pray that the Spirit be present with you next week to say hello to some families at the Welcome Back Barbecue. You know, some of the scouting families you don't know. Consider it your field, your harvest next Sunday. Don't know what to say? It's easy. Simply go up to a group and ask them if you can join them for lunch. If they say yes, you're in. If not, and I can't imagine anyone saying not, just simply wipe the dust off your feet, as Jesus said, you know, and go on to the next group. If you are sitting at a table, okay, remember to leave empty chairs for others to join in another group. And if church people join in, maybe you can suggest, would you mind, I'm trying to leave those open to invite some scout families to sit with us. Now, wondering what to say after you introduce yourself, maybe you can ask the question I asked earlier. Did you do something fun this summer? What was it? And then you can share with them the fun thing you did or something you enjoyed this summer. If there's younger ones, ask them what they like about Cubs, Scouts, Beavers. And then maybe you can share things your children enjoyed about Cubs, Scouts, Beavers, or whatever activities they were a part of. It's a great way to start building bridges and getting to know our neighbors. Now, there won't be enough chairs for everyone, so you may have to, like at the church picnic, stand with your plate and just chat as you do that. The role of hospitality in mission cannot be overstated. The hospitality of the 72 is shown in their mission of peace that is done through a grateful presence. You know, eat what is set before you, say thanks, and conversation. Remember those two things, a grateful presence and conversation. Can you say those with me, please? A grateful presence and conversation. Thank you. And it's something we can do not just next week, but next week and in our lives. Next Sunday, we have a great opportunity to be a good host. Remember this in prayer this coming week is a way of preparing our hearts and minds to do so. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to be your messengers of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is from the soft-covered More Voices, Come Touch Our Hearts, verses 1-4 only. And we learned it this past winter. Come Touch Our Hearts, verses 1-4, number 12 in More Voices.
Touch our hearts that we may know compassion. From falling embers build a blazing fire. Love strong enough to overturn injustice, to seek a world more gracious. Come touch and bless our hearts. Come touch our souls that we may know and love you. Your quiet presence all our fears dispel. Create a space for spirit to grow in us. Let life and beauty fill us. Come touch and bless our souls. Touch our minds and teach us how to reason. Set free our thoughts to wonder and to dream. Help us to open doors of understanding, to welcome truth and wisdom. Come touch and bless our minds. Come touch us in the moments we are fragile, and in our weakness your great strength reveal, that we may rise to follow and to serve. Steady now our nerve, come touch and bless our wills.
Touch us.
Thank you. Please be seated. Your offering today helps in the mission and ministry of Appleby United Church. Our presence is a light to this community and beyond, and a reminder of the peace that God desires. We'll now have our morning's offering.
Thank you.
Wherever God's people are helping, caring for neighbors in sickness and need, the church is wherever God's people are sharing words of the Bible in gift and in need.
Let us pray. Good and giving God, we thank you for the opportunity not only to receive your gifts, but also for the privilege of being your gifts to each other and the world. Receive our offering, we pray, through it and through us. Bless the world you have made. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Wow, it is hard to believe another September is upon us, O God. Soon leaves will be changing colors, and instead of complaining it is too hot, we will be complaining it is too cold. Welcome to Canada. On this Labor Day weekend, we lift the work of our hands and hearts to you, O God. Too often we separate what we do for the church and what we do in the world. Yet you sent the 72 others to be your messengers of peace in an often divided world. Help us to practice being a hospitable presence for others, a safe place where people can let down their burdens for a moment and be remembered that they are cared for by us and others, and ultimately by you, O God. Too often we get too busy to notice the crack, the urgency, the tension in another's voice that signals a burdened heart. Thank you, God, for the unbounded love you show us and others. Help us to find ways to tap into that love. Lord, teach us to pray, so that the work we do in the church and the world is touched by your grace. Micro-loving rather than micro-aggression. This we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to dream of a more just, kinder, and gentler world together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 593 in Voices United. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, number 593.
The foundations of the world quiver, and our hands shake, and our hearts are parched. That is why we come, O God, to be reminded the world is held in your steady hand, and that your love can soften the driest heart. Go now with the message of love, of peace, and hope for a waiting world. Spreading God's love to everyone by spreading it to a person around you as you greet them and give them energy for the coming week. Amen.